Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. This week, we're talking about vision boards, finding your why, and how you can use emotions to your benefit. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and let's get talking. This week, we will dive into a few specific challenges that you can take from this episode and apply to your life. We're going to be talking a lot about the emotions behind our money and why it's not all just simply logic and math, though I wish it was. That would make it so much easier to figure out. If it was just math, it would be super easy. So there is more than just math when it comes to our money. So let's figure out what else it's going to take to manage all of our money, because hopefully you have a lot of money at this point because you've been listening to Money Talk for so long. But if you haven't, now's a great time to start and also a great time to share with your friends and family. But let's get into some of the great questions we have in today's interview. I'm excited to dive into why saving can feel so difficult and how sacrificing money can also be extremely difficult. Also, how can a bucket list help with vision boards and help us achieve so much more when it comes to our money? I don't have a Skylar story time for you today, though I have a good one brewing about student loans. So that may be coming up in a week or two. So keep an eye out for that one and make sure to subscribe. Today's Money Buddy is Egle. She is a wealth, business, and purpose strategist for women with a background in business and economics and corporate finance. She's the founder of two businesses and certified to work with energy, helping transform limiting emotions and belief patterns while bringing energy into motion. She specializes in guiding heart-led entrepreneurs. She speaks on topics including wealth evolution, financial empowerment, human consciousness, and overcoming subconscious barriers to success in today's increasingly digital world. I'm excited for this conversation today. The money talking points for this week are: what system can help take the pain out of saving for you? 2, how can a vision board help you? And 3, what is your why with your money? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Egle to the show. Thank you so much for joining. I'm excited for this conversation. We're talking about some financial challenges. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I am excited for our conversation.
Yeah, this is going to be fantastic. So let's go ahead and dive right into it here. And we're talking about hard challenges that people need to overcome. I want to kick it off with how people feel pain around their financial goals and how they can turn it around. Why is it so common to feel like saving and investing or budgeting is so hard?
I would say there are two aspects of it. One has to do with habits. So if we aren't raised this way, it will be hard to pick it up. Because we grow up, we hear what we should or shouldn't, then we just live with whatever we've been told to be the truth. So any new habit will feel painful for the brain because in general, the brain avoids change. But secondly, why it's painful is simply because it feels like a loss. Once we have a resource, we can spend it now and enjoy whatever it has to offer, or we can delay the gratification. So if I would give any advice immediately, is of course to build structures and systems around it so you don't have to think or make a choice every time. So making a choice of saving long-term or a strategy without thinking, doing monthly helps. So just like going to the gym, for example, we can think that it's raining or that it's going to be painful, or we can somehow in the brain make a link with whatever positive it will bring in the future. So it's all about this inner world and inner experience of training ourselves to see the rewards, not only the loss.
That's phenomenal. And that's such an interesting mindset shift. And we're starting right off the gate here with some great advice that saving or investing can feel like a loss right out the gate. And you're almost getting at automation as a way to rewire and work through some of those challenges that you're facing at the beginning. How can someone automate that so that you don't feel that loss?
Yes. So it's not necessarily automated in terms of implementing a complicated system, but simply making a habit, mm-hmm. saving a specific amount of monthly salary. So not only every month thinking how much I want to save or to delay the gratification, but just deciding once that every month for so many years, I will put it in. And then there is no more of this decision. That's one way to kind of automate it from the decision perspective so that you don't have to make the painful choice every time.
You're making the decision beforehand, so you're not trying to make it every single time, because I think that's what wears people out, is trying to make it every single month to say, okay, I got to put this money into my investing. When you commit to it ahead of time, which is, I've talked about written plans for years on this podcast, write it down for the year. I'm going to save $100 a paycheck or whatever it might be. And then it's a whole lot easier to do it because you committed to it up front. I love the idea of don't make it feel like a loss, plan for it ahead of time. But this loss or this sacrifice, how does this appearance make it difficult for us? Maybe you can expound on some of the struggles of that sacrifice and why it can be so much harder for us.
So the brain, it loves the pleasure and it runs away from the pain. So anything that feels that I can't have it right now, I worked hard, I have my money, but now I can't spend it or I can't enjoy it at this specific moment. For brain, it feels like a restriction. You know, human is the only race that lives on stories. For a monkey, we could tell if you don't eat your banana now and wait a little bit and you get 10 bananas, it will not work because it's the intuition, it's the survival. So we have a part of a brain that helps us to see some kind of future. And this is how pain or pleasure, these are two reward systems. And most of the people live and get motivated through pain. So many, many times we might feel light frustrations about something in our life, maybe lack of finances or the dreams that we just can't reach. But frustration is often not enough to start acting. It's only once we get into really deep pain, it's when the change starts to happen. Now, this is automatic response. 95% of what we think every day is unconscious. So we just go on with whatever we've been doing until the pain hits. But once we become aware of that, then we can consciously start altering our feelings. So this is shifting from pain of loss, of not being able to spend. And also logic, it doesn't necessarily give a feeling. Once we start putting it more into senses, a vision or something that we can taste or something that we can feel in any other way, this is when the body starts moving. So this is when the motivation systems start to be activated. But logic doesn't really move us until we feel some kind of pain or pleasure.
Emotion. Yeah. That's fantastic. And I've often said that there's more than just math with our money, because if it was just math, the models would be taught, the supercomputers would figure out the exact perfect way to invest. But there's emotion at play. There are human reactions to maybe the stock market craziness that we're seeing over the last couple of weeks. There's a human reaction to that. And if it was just math and models and logic, like you talked about, there wouldn't be all these news articles about panic selling and things like that. It would be a whole lot easier because our emotions come in to make this much more difficult. You mentioned finding a vision and building out a vision. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. So I want everyone to be on the edge of their seats talking about vision boards, which we're going to come up to soon. But let's spend a little more time on emotions and dive deep into how emotions make it so much more difficult. We've talked about how that feeling of loss is one of them. What other emotions hurt us when it comes to these challenges with our money?
I love it that you now mention about what's happening in the stock markets today. So there is a fear or panic selling happening right now. And you would think that a lot of investors are making models and they are calculating. But once the fear hits, it's our survival emotions that get motivated. That's a reptilian part of the brain. And logic cannot overrule it. So oftentimes when the emotion floods us, when someone has something or triggered us or something happens, it's like our vision narrows down. And these are really survival instincts that helps us to focus on the task. And fight, flight, or freeze, or whatever helps to survive. However, this is not very helpful when we talk about money. So our brain perceives it, our body perceives it as real. But if we calm down and if we look, take a broader picture, it's often not real. So actually what's best to do now, of course, is to buy. When everyone is selling, this is where we have to then be in control and in awareness of our bodies and this broader vision, seeing it all as waves that's coming and going instead of the end of a world that sometimes happens when we are flooded with fear and we think we have to do it now.
That's fantastic. And one of the things I love about podcasts is we're recording this the beginning of April. This episode is going to come out a little while later, which means they're going to get to see that stock market volatility we're talking about right now that we have no idea how it's going to pan out. People are going to be listening to this later and be like, wow, people were so worried. Why were they worried? And I love what you said right there about this is a great time to buy. If you're in a financial situation where you can keep investing and keep making that sacrifice, this is the great time, because then in 5 years or however long, 2 years, maybe it's when this episode comes out and the stock market's back up at all-time highs, nothing but growth is happening to the stuff you're buying right now. When it's at those all-time highs, that means it has to have gone up to that point. So I'm hoping for everybody listening to this in the future that it's gone up and that we're through it and whatever happened, happened. But that's what's so fun about podcasts, is they can kind of be a little bit of a time capsule to say, here's the emotions we're feeling right now. But then you listen to it and you're like, yeah, I did feel those emotions, but I'm not feeling them now because things have changed. So just helping people be aware of that is fantastic. But you also talked about how there are so many more emotions at play with both spending and saving. There's all sorts of things, whether you feel restricted by saving because you can't enjoy it. And people can go all over the spectrum when it comes to emotions with their money. What kind of things can people use to overcome that feeling of restriction?
When we are just saving without knowing what is it for, it will be extra hard, because 95% of our beliefs are unconscious. So if thoughts are unconscious, we're just living on autopilot a lot. And so once we don't have this clear vision, what is it that we're building? It's hard. It's easy to slip. It's easy to buy something extra or to spend for something for family or for yourself and then later regret. But once we have a clear vision, what is it that we're building in terms of life? Maybe there is a holiday or a house or just a lifestyle or whatever is important for whoever is listening. It's all about the life priorities. So once you're starting to sketch the vision, it's also your subconscious mind starts to focus on it. And the bigger the vision is better, because if you think about 10, 20, 30 years, you will allow to yourself to dream beyond your circumstances. But once you start dreaming, you'll see that your thoughts will start focusing on that, what you want to create, instead of that, what you want to avoid. And then you will see more and more of that in your life, and it will speed up. So maybe something that now seems unattainable will start coming closer, and there will be new ideas coming up, maybe even income streams, not only savings. Once we have it on the vision board, it starts aligning much more, and we will be much more likely to take those opportunities. And the other thing is that the vision board, it's pictures, and pictures, they stimulate feelings within. So once we have a number of money, they move us much less. But once we see something that activates the senses, we will be starting moving towards that much more. And I would take it even a step further, not only think about what we want to create by vision board, but also how do we want to feel once we achieved it. And this is essential, because by being conscious of the states that we want to live in and we want to create by something material, we can also bring much more of that already here and now in our lives. This is so essential. We start to create from the place of fullness, from something I am making, instead of from the place of lack. And that's something that I can't have, or I don't have, or I have to wait for 30 years to get it. It's a completely different state of being.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I think right there, everyone, if you just listen to that 2 minutes of the podcast, that's a fantastic application of a way to make your investing, saving, and budgeting, like we talked about in the very beginning, when it feels like that loss, that's how you flip it around and you say, here's what I'm saving towards, making some sort of a vision board. I talked about, it's probably a couple months ago at this point, maybe six or so, that I talked with some guests and they said, use a whiteboard. It's a similar concept to what you're saying of write it down, write the goal down, write your feelings down, your numbers down, And you're even saying take it a step further and use images. And I was thinking you could, if you're married, upload a picture of you and your spouse to some sort of AI tool and say, put these people in front of X mountains that you want to go visit or something like that. And it can maybe put you in the place you want to be. And you say, let's replicate that image and make it an actual real image instead of some sort of AI generated image. But it can still invoke those feelings of, I want to go there. I want to be there. I want to enjoy that. And then you can maybe write down a couple things of what will you feel when you get there? And then you can be on the lookout for it, be working towards it. Do you use vision boards in your saving and investing? Have you seen them help you out?
So there is, I use a lot of writing. So I write about what I desire in my life a year from now, a few years from now, or sometimes I don't even attach time to it at all. It's more of crafting what I am, what I'm crafting in my life. And sometimes I make it visual as well. Yes. And I want to add, how does that help even more is a little bit of magic, but because we don't know what is it that we really want. And once we make it specific, it seems that unexpected ways open up. So give me, let me give an example. You asked, how did it help me? Once I wrote down a list of 100 of everything that I wanted. Some things were quite small, but yet I didn't feel like spending money on it. What happens then is that Christmas comes or something comes and then you start getting little checks. And my partner, actually, he gave a check to me saying, you can get something in the shop from this, but I would think this is such a small amount that it's not even worth my time. But then I looked at my list and I actually saw things on my list that I wanted to have, but I didn't feel it was worth the money.
Yeah. And there's definitely, I've talked about it on past episodes. There's a lot of things coming up in this one that we're taking from a few episodes here and there of my show, and we're compiling it into one. One idea that I love that people gravitate towards is that when you start setting your mind towards something, doors magically open that make that opportunity possible. Whether it's that giant savings for a huge vacation you want to go on, or it's those little things like you're talking about, because you wrote them down, now you're a little more aware of them. And sure, you probably would have got the money anyways, but like you said, was it enough to make you go find something to purchase, or would you have just funneled it into your savings? Probably just your savings, but you had a list of goals there, a list of ideas of things you wanted to accomplish. So you're able to move through that and check them off by being more aware of them. That's how those happen a whole lot more. It gets us going in the right direction. It gets us thinking, how can I save towards that vacation? How can I save towards these other little things that I want to purchase, but maybe they're not a priority? How can this direction of these vision boards and lists be so beneficial for us?
Yes. So the more attention and time we spend on specifying whatever we want to create, the more energy and movement there comes. What you just mentioned is wonderful. So we might have wanted this exotic vacation, but think that it's so far away that we don't really spend time. But once we start searching, there are so many different ways even to travel. There are so many cheaper ways and more expensive ways, and there are special offers. So once we start actively spend time on that, what we are creating, then the doors start opening, or simply it could be that we are just moving from one belief to another belief, from belief that it's not for me or it's not worth it, or I shouldn't spend money, or maybe it's greedy or whatever. Once we allow ourselves to dream and to enjoy the dream, then suddenly the mind opens to all the possibilities around. Yeah.
And what I'm hearing, maybe you do have a belief that you don't deserve the big vacation, because maybe this is your first big job out of college or something like that. You've never made this much money in your life. You've always lived as a broke college student. Maybe your parents weren't super wealthy, so you weren't living this luxurious life. But now you have maybe some time where you can live a little bit nicer. You want to avoid lifestyle creep and not get into this huge debt-ridden lifestyle, but maybe there is an opportunity to enjoy it. Dreaming can help plant those seeds of, this is okay. Like, this isn't a terrible thing that I'm doing. I'm not a worse off person because I want to enjoy my money a little bit. And I love hearing that direction that you're making with these vision boards and lists helps get you there, because you don't need to change your belief overnight. One, it's not going to be possible. You're not going to be able to wake up and say, oh, now there's enough money to go around and I don't have to save every dollar I have. Like, it's going to be a bit of a progress. So I like the idea of creating these boards, creating these lists to help you overcome that and begin to see yourself in a place where you have the belief that allows you to spend that money. That's awesome. Like I said, there's a lot of great things coming out of this episode, but Let's talk a little bit about that why and drive that people have to get them going in the right direction. What makes a why or your purpose with your money so important with these goals?
The purpose or the why is everything. We have our inner world. There are our thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and there is an outer world. An outer world is triggering all the time thoughts and feelings within us. There are a lot of opportunities to buy things. So it comes a good offer, and then we just spend money. And we go through the days like that, oftentimes doing things unconsciously, because there are so much things around us inviting us to take action. And it's only when we turn within, and once we start becoming aware, what is it that why I'm doing and why I'm doing that, it becomes much easier to become immune to all these invitations around us, because we know exactly where we are going towards or what we want to experience.
Yeah. Advertisement immunity is what I would call that. Is like you become immune, like you said, to those advertisements, because maybe it is a good deal. Maybe that thing you're seeing on Amazon, you're like, yeah, that's been so much more expensive for so long. But guess what? You still don't need it now. Like the $30 savings isn't any sort of savings if you're still purchasing it. You're still spending money. And that's one of the things that can help you push through this mess of advertisements. That like 90% of our mail is just spam flyers. And if you weren't diligent about your whys, there's so many coupons in there. And if you weren't already planning to buy the thing at a higher price, using the coupon isn't really a savings. You're just still spending money. So if you have that why in place, you're able to push through that. You just recycle all of that stuff because, you know, this isn't on my vision board. This random fast food coupon isn't on my vision board. So you're able to push through these sales as they continue to just berate us. I really like that picture that you just painted there of becoming immune to all these advertisements and all these things trying to take our money away. What if we don't have that clear why? How is that so harmful?
In my belief, every person has a why within, but it's not always easy to find it because we are not trained to. So developing why is also a process. And the way it harms us is because instead of creating an influence in our own lives towards what we want to create, we become a result of our circumstances. And so we all have resentments or dissatisfactions or frustrations. And if we don't spend time exploring those, where is it? So the emotion is the sign that something is out of alignment. And so once we start exploring these emotions, we become, again, immune. I like this word, the way we used it. We are starting to become more immune towards influences from outside. And then we are stepping more into our power, our creative power, and then we are more in control of our lives. So instead of being the result of our circumstances, we start to be the starting point, the creation of our lives, and then also influence the circumstances in return. So bring something positive to even those around us.
I love that you said, whether we have a why or not, or whether we define our why or not, you're going to have some sort of a why. It's whether that why is influenced by media and advertisements and these things that we've been talking about that will just try to suck your money away. If you're influenced by those, then they're developing your why. Your why could be, oh, I got to have the latest and greatest car, but maybe you don't care about cars, but you're influenced by this society that is built around cars. Or maybe your why is, I need to purchase a home, but you've never developed why you actually want to purchase a home. You just hear everyone else doing it. So that's fantastic. You may have a why or you may not, but no matter what, there's going to be some sort of influence over why you're doing things. So make sure you're actually defining it. So you're not just being influenced by every which way that the advertisements and all these people that just want to take our money want you to go, because they're going to send you in the direction of spending as much as you can. But when you have that why, it helps negotiate and balance these emotions, the logic, everything else that goes into our money. And we've talked a lot about emotions and all sorts of different things. We're coming up to time here, but one of my last few questions is, let's wrap it up with, how can emotion be so powerful, and why is it more powerful than logic when it comes to managing our money?
It's because the brain part that's responsible for emotions is more ancient. That's the reptilian part of the brain, the survival brain, and it is simply quicker to respond. And so we might think with all the logic what we want, but when something emotional happens in our lives, it will not overrule the logic, because logic will always adjust towards what we feel is right or whatever we feel. So the mind will always find a way to justify any decision we made it afterwards.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing there is your logic is going to make your emotions seem logical. So you may as well just learn how to control your emotions and get ahead of it a little bit so that your emotions are actually doing the right thing. Because if we just justify logically, oh, it made sense for me to purchase this thing that I didn't need, but you wanted it just on an emotional basis. Now your logic is also saying it's okay. That's kind of a dangerous place to be in, where your emotions are running it a little bit and you're trying to justify it logically. So that's a great place to leave this. But I do have two final questions so everyone can get to know you a little bit better and find you online. The first one is, how can people connect with you? And then the last one will be, what's one thing you wish you knew sooner about motions when it comes to money? But to kick us off, how can people find you online?
So I can be found on free social media platforms, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and on Facebook, based on my name, Agle Aleknavičiūtė. And
which will be in the show notes, because I cannot pronounce it either. So it will be in the show notes.
Excellent. And what I wish I knew earlier was all what we spoke about, that beyond the logic is emotion. Because I studied economics and business. Of course, economics is very social science, but we never went so deeply into what's happening within the person. So we looked a lot about the external circumstances, about statistics, about all kind of external things. But I wish I knew how much power we have in our inner world in shaping the realities that we live every day.
Phenomenal. Mic drop moment right there to finish it off. Thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
What a fantastic interview. And thank you so much to Egle for coming on the show. That was a fun conversation. And I'm excited for these money talking points. The first one is, what system can help take the pain out of saving for you? Well, you got to start off with automation here, and I have an episode coming up about automation, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But set up your direct deposit so that it goes directly into your savings instead of your checking. Limit how much money you have to spend so that you are better off when you do spend that amount. If you set yourself up to automatically send 20% to savings and spend the other 80%, you're fine. You're living below your means. You're going to be okay. Your lifestyle will adjust. You won't feel a 1% or 2% increase to your retirement savings, especially because that is a place where automation is king, is your retirement savings. In speaking about retirement, one of my favorite books in this area is The Automatic Millionaire. It will help you set up a system that takes the pain out of saving because, like I said, that 1% or 2% increase, you are not going to feel it. Set up your systems now so that you don't feel as much pain. That way, when you look forward, you're going to have joy from the money that you get to enjoy in the future because you set it up now. And vision boards can be very helpful in this area, which is the second money talking point that we'll get to here in just a moment. But I want to talk about a whiteboard. You need to get a whiteboard. If you're listening to this and you don't have one, go back and listen to the episode with the CoastFi couple where they talked about how helpful a whiteboard is, but it's super helpful for my wife and I as well. Not only can it outline and write down all of your numbers, you can print out pictures and things like that and put it right up on it. It can help you begin to visualize what you're actually saving for. Because it's so much harder to feel excited when you see $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever number just sitting in a savings account versus seeing $10,000 in a loan sitting there waiting to be paid off. It's so much harder to visualize that savings. But when you have a whiteboard, you can visualize it. You can put up a way to visualize it. You can draw it out. You can be all fancy with it. It makes it a whole lot easier to visualize your savings because it's so easy to visualize a loan or debt or an obligation. So make it easier on yourself with a vision board or a whiteboard to envision your savings plan. That does it for the first money talking point here. The second money talking point is, how can a vision board help you? Well, I've already started talking about this on this episode with a whiteboard, but you can also gain increased focus and awareness. You can expand your opportunities by taking real time to sit down and dream. By actually visualizing them, writing them down, you can begin to shift your mindset in the background. And one of those things that just kind of magically works and those opportunities and doors will open makes it a whole lot easier to make things happen when you've written it down and you've visualized it. You heard us talk about how those magic doors will seem to open, and trust me, they will. I certainly believe this is true. You will be more aware of ways that you can progress toward your goal. you'll somehow seem to just run into money that you can funnel in the right direction. Now, this is the key thing here. The money was already there. You were already going to run into it, or it's already in your savings. You just didn't know where to send it. So that's what made it so you didn't really think about the money too hard and it just kind of sat there. But now that you're going to know where to send it, you're going to feel like suddenly there's money flying at you from every sort of direction because you know where to actually move it and think about it. It used to just come into your life and move right along without paying any attention to your goals. But now, after listening to this episode, you're going to go ahead, build out that vision board, and you're going to know exactly what to do with the next dollar you get. So the next time you run into money, it will be a whole lot easier to meet your goals and not feel the pain of saving when you start to think about how you could possibly spend the money. Vision boards will also help you when it comes to spending, though. If you know what you want to spend on, then it makes it a whole lot easier to do it when the time actually comes. Think about vacations or big ticket items. If you've been waiting and saving and dreaming of the day when you finally get to purchase that big item, then when you get to do it, it's a whole lot easier to not feel guilty about it if you've had it written down on your vision board and if you've been planning for it. I hope you're able to see after this money talking point how a vision board or a whiteboard or whatever you want to document your dreams, ideas, and goals on, I hope you're able to see how it will help you, especially with your very next dollar. But I got one more money talking point for you here, and let's go ahead and dive into it. What is your why with your money? I really like the point that we made in the interview today, where if you don't have a why, if you don't have one built out, it will be influenced and determined by all the advertisements, ads, and whatnot that are constantly being thrown at you out there. This is why you have to develop your why, to develop advertisement immunity. And that is a term that I'm going to coin right now. I like the idea of building up advertisement immunity by gathering your why with your money. I really like it. I'm going to teach about it even more. I'm going to do some more research on it. So make sure to subscribe. Maybe we'll have some future episodes about that. But when we aren't influenced by ads and everything else around us, it makes it a whole lot easier to stick to our goals. Think about the tariff news and whatnot, right? Tariffs can make you, if you're not stuck with your goals and know what you're doing with your money, make you suddenly feel like you need to go out and hoard all these things that are maybe going to get increased prices, but who really knows, because it'll change in 90 days or 30 days or tomorrow or who knows. So combine this why with your vision boards and you're going to be unstoppable. You are going to be absolutely on the right road with your money when it comes to identifying your why, using a vision board and then setting up a system or automation around all of that. You are unstoppable. There's no ad that's going to be able to derail your financial plan with some sort of impulse spending that you don't really want to do. You're going to be able to live below your means and stick to it, retire, and do whatever you want with your money when you're able to combine these three money talking points that we talked about today. And don't stop there. Share it with a friend. Go and have a money talk about one of the topics that really stuck out to you today and figure out what you want to do with your money, map it all out, and go for it. If you have any questions, please use the link in the show notes, schedule a time with me. I'd love to talk through any one of these three money talking points with you and help you figure out how you can implement it into your life. But there you have it. Three great money talking points today that you can take, get your friends or family together, and have a great money talk. But to wrap up today's episode, I hope you learned a lot. This was a great one. I appreciate all of our great guests and how much they bring to the table when they come on the show. Do you have someone that you'd want to hear on the show? Send me a text using the link in the show notes about who you'd want to hear, and I'll see about getting them on the show. Wouldn't it be exciting to hear a money talk with someone who you listen to or watch elsewhere? But remember, the link to send me a text is in the very top of the show notes, and include your name or a phone number if you'd like me to reply. I really hope you're liking the new website and new features that I've brought to Money Talk. I know I'm really liking the new website, and I'm still working very hard on my CFP studies for the CFP exam in July, but if you need any help with your finances, I'm always available for a free chat at moneytalk.show/chat, or check out the free resources on my website to get some simple yet powerful money talks started. Here's a quick rundown of the three money talking points from today to send you off with. One of the most effective ways to take the pain out of saving is by setting up systems, automate your saving, adjust your lifestyle gradually, and reduce the emotional toll of decision-making. Tools like direct deposit and small, consistent changes can make a big impact over time. We also dove into the power of vision boards, not just as decorative tools, but a way to focus and hone in on your goals, shift your mindset, and visualize the joy behind your savings and spending. Because when you're working towards something, it's easy to say no when it's on your vision board and you've already planned it out. Vision boards will also help you spot opportunities and redirect your money more intentionally. Finally, we talked about finding your why, the driving force behind all of your financial decisions. Without a clear purpose, you risk letting advertisements and outside influences shape your goals. So develop your why and develop advertisement immunity today. Connect that to your vision boards and your systems, and you are going to be on the right path. So now is the time to find your why, build your vision board, and set your system, and then let your emotions work for you, not against you. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalk.show and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You can also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly with your financial coach. I'd love to work with you over there and help you with your budgeting. The link is in the show notes. Remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,